boys are back here. Welcome to Steel and Maz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. It's good to be back in the studio here in Quincy Point, the Mass Music Radio headquarters. We kick off another episode with a superb guest here, you know, women's finest. We got Mark DeLuca featured on ESPN, pro boxer here. Welcome to the show. What's going on, Mike?
Thanks. What's up, guys? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Absolutely.
We'll get the interview going real quick, but afterwards we'll talk about some NBA playoffs along with what's going on if we're going to play baseball this year. I mean, it seems like the MLB, MLBPA, it's not getting along here. Not at all.
Not friends.
Magic Mike will give us a little, maybe a little tidbit on what it takes to fish.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Sports aren't around, so trying to stay busy and active, I guess. Uh-huh.
Next Charlie Moore.
Yes. And it's trying to stay up in the gambling world. We'll have our picks for next week's UFC fight night.
Yep.
As our guy Anton, he pulled off a big win last night. Jessica Eye going down. That was good.
Yeah, who won? Cavillo?
Yeah, Cavillo won. Cavillo. Yeah.
That's a big win. Big win for Anton. Big. Love to see it. He needed it. God knows that much.
Yeah, big payday. Okay. So, we'll get started here, Mark. So, what really got you into the sport of boxing, like just like as a young kid?
I started out at the McCann Post. It was like a local boxing program in Dorchester.
Yep.
And, it's a great program. It's been around forever. Started out when I was about 3 years old there. And it's more like geared towards self-defense and confidence and, you know what I mean, teaching kids, you know, good morals and stuff like that. And I did that program. And then afterwards, I wanted to compete and further my career. So my father brought me to a local gym in Quincy, and it just kind of took off from there.
Solid. So when did you think this was actually going to be, like, a thing to pursue, actually, like, professional-wise? Like, were you in Golden Glove stuff? Like, what kind of was like, wow, I can actually do this?
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you know, if I can actually do it or not, you know. But, I fought in the Golden Glove tournaments, and, I did pretty well, and turned professional young. I was kind of on the fence, you know. I went to the Marines. I did 5 years in the Marines, and, you know, it wasn't until I got back from Afghanistan when I gave boxing 100% and, you know, kicked full gear, so.
But the Marines, like, that must have helped you, man, like, toughness and mentality coming back to boxing after,
like,
right?
Discipline and whatnot.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, they go hand in hand. I think they complement each other, both lifestyles. So, definitely open your eyes and give you some life experience. So, mm-hmm. It was a great experience for me.
As a young one starting out, who's like the boxer you were emulating the most? Like, who would you think you would be, you know?
Jeez. I mean, I watched them all, but, I mean, the local guys, I love the local guys, like, you know, Mickey Ward, Marvin Hagler, and...
Rocky
Marciano and guys like that. So probably like team. Mickey. Mickey was big when I was younger, and everyone loves Mickey. I mean, he's the most beloved boxer locally and, you know, throughout the states. Everyone loves Mickey. So
great movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
The fighting,
elite
stuff.
Oh yeah, Christian Bale killed that. But
he did.
What I was gonna say, so to my understanding, you won your first 6 fights, and then you won the military, and then you rang off 15 more, right?
I did, yeah. I was battling, like, injuries, and, I had shoulder surgeries, and I got my license, my boxing license revoked because I had some fucking, brain shit going
really?
On. I don't know. Yeah, I went in for an MRI, and I had bleeding on the brain or something, and it was just... I got it when I was not through boxing, but through birth. So then they gave me the license to go, so I took it off from there.
Yeah,
but, you know, I was just battling injuries, and then the Marine stint kind of derailed my career a little bit, but when I got back, then I started hitting it full speed.
Absolutely, but like 21 straight wins?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so,
all together.
I mean, having that much like confidence, and then how much of the expectation level does that kind of bring to you being like, wow, I'm the man now, I can do this shit?
Yeah, it was good. You know, I definitely had a good team behind me. You know, my coach, I have a coach from New York, Hector Bermudez. He has a great stable down here, and he always has, like, world talent coming through. So that definitely helps you mold into a better professional fighter, along with my promoter, Ken Casey. You know, he's probably the best regional or national, one of the best national promoters in the game right now, and he throws big shows and stuff, so... Just being in front of those...
Part of Dropkick Murphys, right?
Dropkick Murphys. Yeah. So, like, you know, he's been in the game and the music game his whole life. So it's not too far off the music and the boxing. So he knows how to promote a show. And he just got me in front of the right people. And
How important was that, though? Like, when you came back, he's like, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Probably just fought in Murphy's box, like the boxing promotions. Is that what you did there?
Yeah. I signed with him and his team. And, you know, because Ken is so good at what he does, he attracts the ESPNs and the Eddie Hearns and the Golden Boys mm-hmm. and all these big boxing promoters to come to Boston, and I've been lucky enough to fight on those platforms in Boston, which is pretty big.
I feel
big.
Boston has like a great like boxing like community, and they, you know, help each other, know each other, and get you there and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's small, you know, considered to mm-hmm. the big ones like New York City and Philadelphia and stuff like LA, mm-hmm. you know, but boxing, and we have to fucking compete with the Patriots. And,
oh, yeah.
You
course,
know what I mean? Like
course,
those
exactly.
guys, you know?
Probably, yeah.
The Patriots and the Bruins and the Sox. So it's tough. It's like, you know, I have friends from like the Midwest, Nebraska and stuff that don't have a lot of professional teams. So when they fight, the fucking fans really come out, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, for them, because they don't have much going on over there. But Boston, you know, I got a battle with Tom Brady and Big Papa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good luck. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's
That's a
tough
good point.
One. Yeah, it's tough. But I'm trying, though. I'm
I was going to say, when you get to that kind of level, winning that much, I mean, outside of the kind of favorite of the sport, you know, like,
yeah,
I mean, being right up there winning, having success, that's kind of been the Boston way, the narrative the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt.
Yeah.
You have a known name around here for sure. Like, we were just talking outside before this, and we were like, who's coming on for the interview? We said Mark DeLuca, and they were like, oh, shit, really?
Oh, cool,
yeah,
thanks.
So yeah. That's...
This guy's like, yeah, only $20.
Yeah. They mentioned something about gambling.
Like, shit.
Wait, that must be crazy, actually, getting gambled on.
I don't even know if, one friend was like, what? Like, my last fight, I lost. I had a big loss. He's like, what the fuck, man? You couldn't have last one more round. I lost $500. I'm like, fuck you. I'm bleeding out of my ass. I was
that's
like,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wait till I heal up, buddy.
Yeah, shit.
See ya.
Come
fight me.
Yeah,
in
you
want to
collect it?
That's part of it, though, I guess.
Yeah. You've fought at like some big venues here, so, and then you've been on the other side of like fighting at the Marina Bay Sportsbox. I know there's a lot of people there that time, but I mean, you go off to the Sheffield Arena right in England was your last fight. So going in there, obviously road game. So it's like I'm walking into a bunch of people who are clearly rooting for the other guy. Sure. What kind of adversity kind of hits there? And like, wow, I gotta step up. Even I mean, obviously you win and lose in every sport.
Sure.
But like, how do you kind of control yourself going in there and kind of keeping cool and really staying to the game plan?
Like before the leading up to it.
Yeah, yeah. Even just walking in the ring, being like, wow, these guys are kind of against me in the
bastards.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and that I mean, the English fans, as far as boxing goes, you know, I mean. They got soccer and boxing. They're big boxing fans, mm-hmm. along with the Mexicans. You know, they really come out for their fighters, and they get going. They drink, they party, they chant. I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I was like, oh man, I wish I was English. You know, wish I wasn't coming in here. But no, it was. You know, from the athlete's perspective, like a fighter's perspective, it was a little less intimidating. You know, no expectations. You know, fighting here in your home crowd, you know, all eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. And everybody's, you know, if you get hit with a jab, it's like, you know. So mm-hmm. it's like the pressure's heavy. It's a different type of pressure. So over there, I was kind of just relaxed and excited to get the opportunity and soaking it all in. And, just, you know, stepped on a banana peel, didn't go my way. But, you know, it's part of it. Yeah, it's part of it.
So, I mean, it's easy to say that you, like, don't pay attention to like the odds going in a fight, but like, have you looked like going into that fight? Were you looking at it at all? Be like, oh, I'm clearly the underdog here, or something like that.
Oh, I knew like on a competitor's level and like through the business, the boxing business, I knew I was the underdog and mm-hmm. wasn't expected to win. But as far as like gambling and all that,
gambling. It's just favorite.
Oh yeah,
the
I knew for sure. I was definitely. Oh yeah, definitely
give you some motivation it. Though, you know.
No, yeah, fuck. I mean, that's a game changer. You know, you beat mm-hmm. you beat one of those guys. You know, he was Kell Brook's former world champion, and he earned his bones fighting the big guys like Triple G and giving himself a good name in the process. So, just be sharing the ring with him was a good experience, but definitely ain't the end of it. You know, I gotta get that one back.
Oh yeah, on to the next one.
I gotta get that one back.
I'm sure every loss. Yeah. I'm sure every loss fucking hurts. But
yeah, it does. But some hurt more than others.
We know your guy Francis that you train.
Yeah,
he was telling us how his like career started, kind of. And he, what did he say? How many fights in a row did he lose? Or
it was like 30.
Yeah, it was
30 something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
amateur
I mean,
fights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's resiliency, man. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like I don't even know if I like at a young, especially when you're young like that and you just keep losing. Like I don't know if shit. I don't know if I could bounce back. From 30 losses, you know, Francis's.
Yeah.
You know, and he kept going, and he turned a corner, and he started kicking everyone's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's
that's,
ass.
That's why I feel like in any sport you play, if you play against the older guys, you're going to get your ass kicked. But you're eventually going to get better, and then when it comes to the age of fighting the people your actual age, you're going to start in terms of the boxing world, yeah, start kicking some ass.
Yeah,
but let me spin it back. So you turned pro when you were 19 years old, right?
Yeah, I was 19.
So what was kind of that like being like, oh, wow, I'm professional, first fight going in? I think it was in Dorchester, so right around, yeah, the block there. And like just going in there with the home fans, what was that feeling kind of like?
The place was rocking.
Yeah.
That night at the IBW Hall, you know, my father's was pushing tickets and all of his pals were going, and then, like, you know, it was my first pro fight, so,
yeah,
you know, the people around here get behind you and stuff, and it's cool, but it was rocking. I was probably more scared that night than in England. You know, yeah, yeah, you got everybody.
Yeah, yeah, all these faces. Oh, yeah. You know,
man, it's like going to Thanksgiving naked. You know, it's like, it's awful.
I can't lose.
Yeah. On the way back home, right, from the woods the morning, yeah, after, or something, man, like that. Yeah,
yeah, no good. Yeah, it's a good experience, though.
Yeah, so We mentioned, what was it, 21 game fight win streak,
yeah,
and then you ran into a split decision. I was just doing my homework this, sure, week. Yeah. That's all. So Walter Wright, you lost split decision.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been tough to really suffer your first loss. But then you come back afterwards and you fight him again. Was it for a world title or something like that?
It was for like a ranking title.
Okay, ranking,
yeah,
title.
Yeah.
So you go in TD Garden, obviously another home game. I'm not sure where Walter's from. But how important was that for not just you, but your career, going in there and really getting the job done?
Like, those types of fights are interesting because, like, Walter, you know, I'm the young buck. I'm 21-0. Walter's the old cagey veteran coming in. And the first fight, he was slick, and he exploited some of my holes and stuff. And, you know, he picked up a win.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, like, you have to, like, from like, looking through, like, you know, like, looking, yeah, through the columns, all the sports writers and stuff, they're writing you off,
yeah,
you know. And then if you lose a second fight, then you're done. It doesn't,
oh, yeah,
like, it's just over. You have to,
yeah,
you have to,
yeah,
write that wrong.
Again,
and if you don't,
yeah,
write that wrong, you know, if Walter beat me again,
mm-hmm,
it'd be tough to come back from that, you know. So, mm-hmm, getting that win and at the TD Garden was big. I had to do that.
I was
so
about to say, how did the redemption feel in the Garden of all places? I mean,
like,
must have been incredible.
Yeah, relief. It was just like, oh, okay. And then they're like, oh, what about a rubber match? I was like, fuck. Get this fucking guy away from me. He's been a pain in the ass for like a year and a half.
Again.
And like, I'm good with him because I was like, no, let's just move on. You know, Ken's like, no, you gotta fight this. You gotta fight this guy. You gotta get your belt back. I'm like, fucking Walter Wright's a pain in the ass. I just want to, like, move on, fight,
yeah,
someone else. And to get him off my, you know, get him off,
yeah,
off the resume, it was good.
No, I love Walters in the Boston
no,
game.
No, no, no,
shout,
no.
Big shout out to Walter MacArthur there,
oh, yeah,
the big Celtics guy. So Francis Hogan, obviously been on this show, Frank the Tank, 19-year-old turning
beast,
pro. So,
beast.
So,
yeah, he is a beast.
So you're going in as a fighter, like, the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years right now. So you're making a transition into coaching. So how kind of, I don't know, would you put into words of how that's different? You know what I mean? You're going in there giving everything that you've learned and kind of transitioning to the younger guy, like a guy like Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough. It's like, our coach, Hector Bermudez,
yep,
like, we kind of, like, it's like osmosis. We all feed off each other,
mm-hmm,
in the gym. And I just happen to be, like, most relatable guy in the gym towards Francis, I guess. We come from the same area,
yeah,
uh-huh, from the same type of roots and stuff, and we're both southpaws, you know, a couple other things, you know, and so I try to help him, you know, he's young, I try to help him through it, you know, and hopefully he doesn't make some mistakes I made, and then hopefully he does much better than I have done, you know. I think that's just the natural way,
yeah,
of things. I had those type of mentors,
yeah,
in the gym when
he's
I was
just younger, like
too.
A tall natural athletic machine, I mean, he's,
yeah,
just,
man, he's a beast, man.
Yeah,
he works hard and he's fucking super serious,
yeah,
he's like Terminator, you know.
Just from what I got seeing that fight in Brooklyn, like, yeah, he has the knockout power, but he has the juice to just keep, like, just keep poking at the,
yeah,
guy, keep poking at that guy, and until he cracks. And he was kicking, yeah, the shit out of who he was, it Brent or whatever,
yeah,
his name was, who,
yeah,
he fought,
yeah,
and eventually he just broke him in the fourth,
yeah,
round. Like, yeah, I think you said before the show, you compare him to Ivan Drago.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
so that's,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, yeah, his prom picture, he tried to put up his fist. I was like, no, Frank, chill out. What are you doing? No.
Hey, come on,
actually, fan question of the night here. I text Frank today. I was just like, you got a question for Mark tonight?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, why is he always rocking spandex when
yeah, yeah. I always get the grape smugglers on. He'll learn. When he gets old, he'll learn.
Yeah,
keep everything
day
tucked.
Day.
Yeah,
can
that's
you, what's, like, has training ever changed throughout your career? Have you, like, gone, I'm assuming it probably has, and you probably train as hard as you always have, but, like, does it get different as you keep getting further along? And,
yeah,
how hardcore is it, like, your training? I always like asking boxers, like, how hard do they go 7 days a week? I know, like, the ones we've talked to, they're like, they don't really party too hard, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And it's just constant, every day, always working.
The Magic's wondering so he can kind of integrate what you're doing.
I want the advice, too. I'm trying to get back in the ring.
Yeah, let's go, man.
Champs there.
Yeah, the consistency is always, like, there, you know. But, yeah, you definitely have to change. I'm 32. You know, when I was Francis's age, you know, I could run every day, spar every day, you know, do the heavy work all the time. But now you're getting a little older, you know, I'm swimming, I'm doing yoga, you know, I'm wearing those spandex in yoga class and stuff like that. So, yeah, it does change up. But the consistency is consistency over intensity, you know. So maybe some things I'm not as intense with, but I'm still doing it, though.
But, like, when it comes time, like, a little bit before the fight or, like, that fight type of camp, like what you're going to do in Vegas... Next week, are you going?
Yeah.
Is that when it, like, that turns it up?
Yeah, it's competitive-wise, you know, you'll step it up. You'll step it up, for sure.
We didn't even ask the question yet that I was wondering the most. So where did the bazooka come from? The nickname? Oh, yeah. I want to hear the origin.
It's not even that sexy. Okay. You know? My father was the original bazooka.
Oh, okay.
And he's actually a real bazooka. He'll knock people. Like, he was known for being a big puncher, you know? So they just rang, and someone's like, oh, you're the... Bazooka DeLuca, little bazooka. I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'll take it. You know? Either that or...
It's a good nickname.
I don't, it rhymes, right? Yeah, I mean, kind of Rocky Balboa-ish, a little bit, whatever. Yeah. You know?
So, I mean, obviously, you're coming off a loss here. So, is there, like, a big thing in you that, like, I know all this COVID-19 stuff is going on, which has kind of been a damper to, I know, scheduling fights and everything like that, but do you have something that, like, a comeback tour in terms of the prove not just people wrong but proving yourself right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not really concerned with what people think and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped boxing because of, you know, some questions I have for myself, and obviously you know, boxing makes me, you know, in any sport pushes you and like to answer those questions about yourself. So yeah, I definitely have some. I definitely can't leave on the Sheffield note, you know. I gotta pick it up and give it a run, and it takes time, it takes patience, and you know, I'm an apprentice to boxing. You know, a lot of fighters don't look at it that way, but I am an apprentice, so you know, you gotta kind of take these failures and, you know, keep stepping forward. And I still got the fire in my belly, so
yeah.
And I'm not getting hurt, which is the other thing too. You gotta kind of look at those two perspectives, you know.
Uh-huh.
Do I have the fire, and am I getting hurt, or am I taking unnecessary punishment?
Yeah, like
damage,
a big thing, yeah.
Which I don't think I am, you know. I feel okay, and I'm not, you know, I don't speak like I have marbles in my mouth yet, you know.
Yeah,
and I still want to get up every day and run, so you know, I just keep going until
The Tom Brady effect here. He's just, you know, staying healthy, kind of staying pliable in any way he can.
It
kind of sounds like at least your story.
Yeah. No avocado ice cream for me, though. I eat the real shit.
Yeah, not too much.
So at the end of the day, I mean, you've had a lot of accomplishments in your career, but what do you want to get out of this that you haven't accomplished before in the sport of boxing?
World title. I mean, I say world title because that's the pinnacle in my career. You know, to win a world title means you've done it. Like, you've been through it all, but... the real, like, satisfaction I'd get myself is, like, the adulation from your peers, per se. Like, you know, like, you get, like, when your peers are like, okay. Like, that's what, that's why I said, like, I looked up to Mickey so much, because Mickey went anywhere, and people had love for Mickey because, you know, they know what's in his heart, and they know what's in his jockstrap. You know, he had balls, and he had heart, and people loved that.
Ready
so,
for anything, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, at the end of the day, if you can look in the mirror and just, like, you know, feel comfortable with that, and have a world title, I guess, and a bunch of money.
The world title is the man.
I guess that would be cool.
Secure the bag, you know.
Yeah. I'm not asking too much, am I? I mean,
no.
Makes sense.
What's the road to that world title, like, look like?
Grinding. Straight
grind. How many like big fights do you have to win to string together in a row to get that opportunity?
I mean, you know, like, there's no formula, unfortunately. Like,
keep going.
Yeah, you just gotta kind of keep just grinding and chipping away, because I could get, like, that last fight I had with Kel, I got kind of overnight. You know, I had a big win. I beat an undefeated Canadian kid, and then shortly after that, like, all right, you want to come to fight Kell Brook in Sheffield? I'm like, oh shit, you know. So you gotta, like, quick. Wait for those opportunities, be ready for them, and jump on them, you know. So I guess that's what I'm doing.
And have you ever been to England before that time?
Nah.
So it was a whole different experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least they spoke the language, I guess, you know, their version of English, you know.
Right,
but it was cool. Like, even the people of Sheffield, it's like, reminded me of, like, Brockton a little bit. It was like working class, and like, it was all mill city. And the people were hard-nosed, but they treated me really well, you know. Even before, after, during. Like, I get some assholes in the crowd, but...
Oh, exactly.
But they were, but everybody was pretty good to me, you know?
Yeah. An English guy at Boston would probably get verbally attacked.
Yeah, probably worse, right? Yeah, I know.
Works both ways.
God, it would be friendly to
him. Good point.
My last question here is, I mean, you see guys in the South... Not just South Shore, but, like, New England. I mean, see... Quincy's, Ryan Kilzeski, Frank coming in, a couple guys like Joe Farina in there. So how important and special it is to see all these guys thriving, and they all live kind of in the same backyard.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Like we have a pretty good Boston, North Shore, South Shore, you know, yeah. Even greater Boston area. Like, there's some, like, top dogs out here working, and I don't know if they're... You know, they're like myself. They're a little bit undercover, you know, under the radar.
Yep.
But they're working, and they're like one or two steps away from really making a name for themselves.
Yeah, drinking
so,
the same Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you know, and I think that goes across the board for all sports and, you know, music and actors. You know, they're always lurking. You know, you can never really point out, you know, sometimes you just come out of nowhere and surprise everybody. So.
Yeah, there's always another one somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so hopefully I'm one of those dudes. And hopefully Francis is one and all everybody here is one, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good.
Magic.
That's it.
Your number's being called.
What do you mean?
Rough and rowdy.
Come
back, man. Come
on. Right to the championship starts, man.
We talked before. You said, you know, Lights Out Wang. He's...
Yeah.
He I think we sponsor him. I don't even know.
Yeah.
At least last time we spoke, we did. Yeah. He's our heavyweight champion.
We're trying to get the logo on his shorts next time.
Yeah, we're going to try and get those. But he's our guy. You said you trained with him as well. And, yeah, I got to... He told me he'd help me train, so I got to get over to Bayshore and get over in there with all you guys.
Let's get a little
camp going.
Yeah, please.
I want to make a comeback.
Let's do it.
It's fucking awesome.
You never left. You can't make a comeback.
Boxing is an excellent workout. Yeah. You're right. I'm 1-0.
Champ is here.
What am I talking about?
1-0 amateur, buddy. You got to get out there.
True, yeah. Honestly, boxing is one of the cooler sports, though. Like, once I never really watched it growing up. A couple of nights ago, we were actually watching a ton of all Mike Tyson's knockouts, like his whole career.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, scary.
Like, that was awesome to watch.
Oh, that stuff's crazy. Like,
now he's a podcast. Now we have an awesome podcast.
I've been listening to it. He's actually smarter than you'd think, too.
Yo, like, wicked. Oh, yeah, wicked.
He's got some good insight, but...
He was training, too, right?
He is trying to
some videos out and about of him trying to fight Holyfield, right?
I don't know why he wants to do that. Like, just keep smoking your weed and doing the podcast.
He wants some money. Isn't it obvious?
Making cameos on, like, movies and TV shows.
Right. Go on.
Bare knuckle fighting Mike Tyson is, like, the last thing I want to do on the face of the earth.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all set.
That plan sucks.
Yeah, no.
Are there any big-name fighters that you're, like, watching these days? Like, any... Obviously not, like... Tyson or anything, because they're not playing, but is there any big name fighters that the community who doesn't really watch boxing should be keeping an eye on?
Like an up and coming.
Oh, man, up and coming guys. I mean,
obviously Tyson Fury, we all watch that.
Yeah,
it's like
Lomachenko's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, Canelo, I mean, how do you not like Canelo?
Yeah,
you know, like the obvious
the
guys.
Big names, yeah.
Yeah, the big names. You know, there's a bunch of different, like the Eastern Bloc countries are pumping out some serious talent. You know, even in the UFC world, like Khabib and who's the dude that looks like Abe Lincoln? They call him. You know who he is?
Oh,
yeah, you know, the kid, Kyle Bartniak. I don't know if you guys know Kyle. He's a UFC fighter from Gloucester.
Oh, okay.
He fought him, and they had a war. I forget the dude's name. Ah, man, I'm embarrassed. But he looks like Abe Lincoln. He got a long beard and stuff. He's from Dagestan.
Oh, okay.
So, like, all those Eastern Bloc countries are pumping out some serious fighting, boxing, and UFC fighters.
Even the kid up in Methuen, Calvin Kattar, he's on a roll.
He's kicking ass.
Yeah.
Man. He's doing real well.
I felt that elbow that he hit that guy with. Like, that looks so painful.
Oh. Yeah, he put Jeremy Stephens
in a body bag.
Are you a big UFC fan, too? Like,
I've been watching it. Yeah, I train with them. You know, they come to Bayshore, some of the fighters, like Peter Barrett, local guys, Kyle Bartniak came.
Nice.
A couple other guys, they're chopping up on their hands and stuff, so... I mean, getting into it and watching and stuff. It's good stuff.
Do you think if it was as big as it is now, like back when you started getting in the sport, do you think maybe that would have been a route you went?
I get itchy watching it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of built like a wrestler. So I'm a little short and stocky, you know.
Yeah.
So
a couple kicks and submissions in you.
Get the legs going.
I got kicked a couple times, and I was like, "Fuck." No, it's
a different beast.
Yeah, it really is.
What's wrong with
you? Good.
I just hear the legs; they like just re-break them just to make them like harder, like for the kick. I'm like,
yeah,
they're crazy.
There's no escaping it. You're just gonna take it, right?
Exactly.
These guys are built like, and they work like the UFC fighters. Man, they work. Their work rate is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They gotta do everything. They gotta wrestle and box and, you know, strength and conditioning and run and da-da-da.
Like, and then oh, you got God. Some of these guys like Cowboy Cerrone taking a fight a month. I'm like, this guy's a psycho.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's nuts. Yeah. The money probably doesn't hurt.
No, no, right? Definitely not.
He jumps off the jet ski and he goes and fights like no, like nothing.
Who was he fighting? Tony Ferguson when he... He was, like, getting fucked up, and then, like, he blew in his nose, and his eyes just blew out. Like, they were like, you can't fight anymore.
And he was getting pommeled.
Oh, yeah, Tony Ferguson's just coming at you. He's a prime time up there. I'm surprised Gaethje got the win. That was a great fight.
It was. Gaethje and Khabib, what do you guys have for that one?
Khabib. I love Khabib. Like a goat.
I can't help it. I love Khabib. I love Conor, too, but, like, for that, with that Conor-Khabib fight, I was kind of, I don't know, I like that broken English shit talking Khabib got going on.
Yeah, he's a savage.
Khabib's, like, almost definitely going to win, but, like, Rocky IV stuff, like, let's go, Gaethje.
Yeah.
But, like, he's probably not
going to win. Conor better come back, by the way, if that's a real
time. Yeah, he'll be fighting by September. Yeah.
Can't have that.
We'll be picking him to win a fight by the end of the summer.
Man, $100 million, and I hope he retires and chills and, you know, count your money twice.
Even Floyd's talking shit again. I'm like, wait, I don't want to see that again. Nah. Floyd Mayweather and
count your money, Floyd. Yeah, shit, man. Fighting.
Yeah, I'll give him that. Like, like you would know, like, boxing is a marathon. So I think McGregor must have took, like, at least, like, three of the first four rounds, and then I don't think he got another punch off after that Mayweather fight.
I can't believe he lasted as long as he did. What did he do, 10 rounds?
Yeah, something like
that. Peter, 10 rounds, the baddest dude in the ring. I mean, come on. That's awesome.
He was strictly on defense. That's how he won. Then attack to the end.
I was praying for him to catch one left and shock the world. I wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know, because you train boxing too, but the stamina, it's legit. It's crazy how out of breath you are after 3 minutes of sparring. Like, it's
you can
crazy.
Run and lift and stuff, but like I tell people, like, you want to get ready for boxing, go on 93 North and, like, try to dodge cars, like, run across the highway, and like that, like, you know, that's how it is.
It's weird. Yeah. Even Rough and Rowdy was 3 1-minute rounds and, like, you're out of breath.
Right?
And that's sad. I mean, that's sad to say, but it's true.
That's
it's true.
Yeah, man.
You just give it all your in that 1 minute. Anything. Or in the 3 minutes, whatever minutes you have, you're going hard.
I set up a home gym, like, and I have, like, a little boxing bag, so I put on, like, 3 minute intervals. I'll be, like, a minute and a half in and be like, it's not 3 minutes yet? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Where are you training these days? Do you have a private gym or?
I don't know. I don't want to get my buddy in trouble.
All right.
No, a pal of mine, I'll give him a plug. Ferracano's boxing in Stoughton. He's allowed like 10 people in there now, I guess. Like some sort of capacity.
Phase two.
Like some shit. Yeah.
So I go up there and then I'm just waiting for Bayshore to open up again. I mean, Bayshore's where it's at, you know. But fuck, man.
When everything's closed, how have you, like, what's been the deal? How have you been keeping up with, like, training and stuff like that?
I got my own little home thing going, you know, my brother Matt, he's a beast too, so, you know, we work out together, and then, you know, everybody kind of, like, meets up at a park, or we all meet up here, or there,
yeah,
you know,
do something.
Just get through it, you know.
Run at lines or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Everyone in position,
that's it.
Shit like that.
So just kind of weathering the storm and just waiting for everything to open up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyone got anything else we got here?
I just want to say we got another fighter. We got to go see fight now.
Exactly. Right? We'll be
let's
there.
Go.
We got a whole list now. This is going to be like...
This has turned into a boxing podcast.
Yeah. Hopefully when everything comes back, we're just like every weekend, because different fight, different fight, different fight.
Yeah, just a trail of fucking
fighters. Definitely
next
the Murphys.
Next time you're local, we're coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll put this right here. Yeah. Right on my, I'll put it on my either my crotch or my ass.
Hell yeah.
There we go. Oh, yeah. If you're in the Murphys boxing, if we get him and Francis all in one night, that's going to be like the best night of our lives. Yeah.
You guys see Ken get hit with a beer bottle last year on stage?
No.
Was pretty good. You could have got that. That would have been good to cover. Ken was doing an acoustic set in between fights, and some asshole out of the stands whipped a beer bottle off his mouth. He was bleeding and everything. It was fucking good. He jumped in the crowd. Yeah, my promoter gets down,
Don't drink too much when we go to the fight.
No.
I would never do
keep
that.
It clean.
Never. I'm not throwing beer bottles at people.
You see Dana White talking shit to the one of the boxing promoters today, being like, you got out TV ranked by, was it Cornhole?
Yeah,
he was just, like, completely blunt about it. He's just like, yeah, so I forget the guy's name. He's like, yeah, so great fucking job, buddy. Yeah. Just, like, in front of all the press. I'm like, that's a badass beautiful. Motherfucker.
He's not afraid
to
call for blood. That's his thing.
That's no, awesome.
Yeah. Don't want to be enemies with Dana White.
No.
Actually, no, that's not awesome. Cornhole outviewed boxing. That sucks.
Yeah, that's
fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know why that is.
Maybe it was female cornhole or something.
Yeah, exactly.
They let it rip there, though.
It's kind of fun to watch.
I watch it for, like, a minute, you know what I mean? Like, all right, nice round, like, getting out of there. Yeah.
They win big bucks.
Yeah.
Right? I watched one of them. The dude was winning, like, for 10, 15 grand.
Yeah, they do it down at Mohegan Sun when it's open. Man.
Had a big lip in. He was, like, I looked like two rednecks.
It's all about the money.
Yeah,
it's all
man.
About the money.
The guy, like, drained a, like, three and then just, like, shushed the crowd. I was like, that's
yeah.
What an animal.
That's great. Well, Mark, I really want to appreciate you coming on the show. This is a great time.
Yeah,
best of luck with the rest of your career, man. Well, whenever there's a fight local, we'll definitely be there. I'll keep in touch. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Great watch. Yeah,
get you
great.
Some new fans.
All the, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Man, that was a lot of fun, Mark DeLuca coming on. Great guest there. Tonight's interview with Mark DeLuca is sponsored by Paul's Barbershop, located on Washington Street here. Every year they have an NHL playoff challenge. Big shout out to Anthony Tortomasi here. He kind of tracked me down when he's giving me a nice haircut one day. He's like, you know, give us a shout out. One top winner with a huge payday. I mean, obviously, he won it, I think, last year or something. So he's kind of up to something. Seeing there. I think it was 2 years ago when the Capitals won. Either way, big money pod should be coming out in the next month or so, just because the NHL's not starting until the end of July. But, he told me to give you a shout-out, so there's a shout-out, Anthony. So, suck on that.
There she is. Beautiful.
I'm trying to decide if I want to get a haircut or not. I'm confused. We got the flows going, man.
You do have to make room for a bucket hat, though.
I do, yeah. We should welcome. We have a new guest on the show as well right now. Yeah. His name is James Askins. Yeah. James the Trainer, a.k.a. Gutterballs.
Uh-huh. Not even a guest. He's a perm whenever he wants to come on, man. He should know anytime.
I just want to, I actually want to brag. The first ever three-time Steel and Naz guest.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely honored. I feel like a UFC fighter taking a fight on short notice. You know, with my head's on a swivel.
Just getting him out there.
Yeah, so like I'm absolutely pumped to be on. Thank you for having me, guys.
Magic Mike, it's the operator.
He's back.
That's good. Yeah, I'll get right into it. My bonehead of the week this week. Going out to this guy, I mean, I really chirped Cody Garbrandt last week. He really proved me wrong. You know, maybe we'll get on his side one day, but it's not happening anytime soon. But this shitbag who I'm about to bring up, which the shitbag's coming from everything else. He just happens to be in the news this week. Kyrie Irving, former Boston Celtic, playing for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, not really even playing, but I completely understand, like, standing up for the Black Lives Matter and everything. But he's trying to, like, come together with these guys and being like, oh, we shouldn't play basketball. First of all, he's injured. He's not even playing. Second of all, the NBA playoffs, when you want to talk about the country and the African community, is probably one of the biggest platforms there is out there. So if you're going to do it anyway and really stand up for your rights, I think, at least in my opinion, I know a lot of people's opinion, including LeBron James, who's like the king in the league there, are saying, no, we should stand up, platform. There's plenty of opportunities to do so there. So that's what I have with. Obviously, him on the Celtics and stuff was awful. The only reason why he's a phenomenal talent, great basketball player and everything. I'm not rooting out his skill, but he could thank LeBron James for getting his only ring there, because if it wasn't for LeBron James, probably be talking about
that shot, though.
Yeah, that's a good shot, don't get me wrong, but they don't get back there with the block. They're down 3-1. That's LeBron's team. He just made the shot.
Yeah, it's like Steve Kerr with Jordan. Like, he nailed the shot. There's no denying that. But, like, it's Jordan's team.
That's fair.
Yeah. So you got any takes on Kyrie Irving here? Because I just kind of put him to pieces.
Yeah, no, I tell you, dude, Kyrie, I mean,
the earth is not flat.
Yeah, it's, like, tough to listen to that guy sometimes. It's just, like, I don't know.
I want Kemba.
Yeah,
I want Kemba.
Give
me Kemba.
Been fighting Kemba Walker over Kyrie Irving since they were at Duke and UConn.
It does not surprise me that he does not want to play basketball. You know?
But he's not even playing.
It's like you were always injured when the Celtics, you come to the Boston. Since, like, he's always, he has the elbow, whatever. And now it's like, okay, I was talking to A&S. He's telling me, like, the seeds might not match up where it's Boston and Brooklyn the first round. But if it were, and there's no KD coming back, there's no chance that Kyrie comes back.
No, 0% coward.
And to say this, I mean, I do agree with you, the Black Lives Matter. I was kind of talking to Nanez before I came on, and I was kind of saying, like, you know what, the sports could be a distraction to the actual message that's going on, but then he brought up a great point and was like, the platform of the NBA playoffs, the only thing that's going to be on TV, and how America is very thirsting for sports, and we,
yeah.
A distraction, I mean, for a lot of people would be a good thing. And to have that platform to demonstrate Black Lives Matter, I think, would be a great thing.
Yeah, the only loophole that I'm trying to get my head around, too, is they play the sport. They know what's going to work and what's not. And, like, even Dwight Howard coming out the other day, just saying that, like, we should not, like, be playing basketball right now. This is not the time to play basketball. So he's coming from another part that where we know nothing about. So I kind of get the message he's saying there. But at the end of the day, it just... Every little thing I see Kyrie Irving does is just...
You hate Kyrie.
I can't stand him, but not because, like, I hate Cody Garbrandt because I lost the bet. I just hate this guy out of pure, like, absolute hatred.
Yeah, I don't like you now because took that bet because of Cody. You said don't bet Cody Garbrandt, and I lost the bet.
Hey, that's on you. That's on you.
That's on you.
It's like
should have gone with Anton's picks.
I should have. Yeah,
it's like Josh Dobbs all over again for Nas. Just bleed and you dry.
I hate him.
Kyrie being vice president though is
that's a stunning move.
How did he get that?
Yeah,
job?
That's incredible.
Vice president of what?
Like the NBA, like the Players Association. Like a that big deal. Yeah, like he's like the wild. Second in command of
that's
like
wild.
The
NBA.
I mean, you might want to say Boston bias, but I think we all agree that Jaylen Brown should be the president.
Future president, yeah, Jaylen Brown.
Who is
100%.
The president of the NBA?
I'm not even...
Players Association, do we know?
Trivia question for audience out there.
I think like,
I'll Google it now.
Slide.
We can keep it moving, but I'll Google it so we
I don't know what to say, but Steele, what were you bringing up about on the way here about Patrick Beverley?
Patrick Beverley like tweeted out today. I forget the exact tweet, but it basically said, LeBron says we're hooping. So like...
That's great.
Give or take, like, I mean, like, and I mean, like,
I'm
what
with LeBron
says,
I'm
yeah,
with that.
You know what I mean?
I think Chris Jam 2 is going to be great.
Chris Paul is the president.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Chris Paul and Kyrie Irving, yeah, that's a...
Mr. State Farm.
I definitely, like, knew that at some point, but, like, totally whiffed on that.
It's wild.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm kind of done talking about Kyrie Irving.
I think we should ban him from the show.
Is that our first ban?
He
who should not be named, I think, is now Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
wait, who?
Do not listen to this if you want to hear about Kyrie Irving.
Right.
He's gone.
Yeah, exactly. So, Magic, you were with the operator last week, or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, you went fishing. So the Magic Mike Minute, it's coming back. We're discussing.
Yeah, I think the new Magic Mike Minute might be just hijinks.
Okay.
New stuff.
Yep.
Trying new things. That's what I do all the time. And my brother got a little dinky boat. It's like fits four, not comfortably, but it fits four.
If it
floats,
gets on the water, brother, it's
it
a boat.
Floats.
It works.
We go about 2 miles per hour with this crappy motor. And we throw some, we do some beers, we drink some ponies.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you get those natty daddies out there?
Yeah, we got a 24-pack of Coronas, but the small version.
That probably weighs more than both of you.
Yeah, so how did that affect the boat? Yeah, were you sinking? Did you have to speed drink to keep the
I
boat
showed
down?
Up actually late to the, it was him and two of his friends and me, and I was like, I'll be there in 10 minutes, and they ended up going into the lake anyway, and then I was like, all right, I'm here now, and they were like, all right, they were barely out there, but basically... The boat looked like it was sinking. Like, you could just see heads. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a wild day. And it was a great
day.
I'm all in on fishing. I'm going to learn the sport. I'm going to get good. I think I want to, like, catch some bass. We're all in. We're going to the fish store a lot. Filling up our, what are the boxes called?
Canteens?
Tackle boxes.
Tackle
we're
boxes,
filling our
yeah.
tackle boxes. We're catching pickerel and bass. We're out. We're going out in Bridgewater. It's Lake Nip and Tuckett. Lake Nip and Tuckett. We call it Lake Nip. Let it rip.
Love it. Bags.
It's a
the
great
shirts.
Time.
Cue the shirts. Yeah.
I actually think I'm going to raffle off a seat on that boat as a future raffle for the Steel and Naz listeners.
I love that. That's
and
great.
We'll eventually probably have you fishing tournament against Charlie Moore.
Of course.
King of New England.
Charlie Moore, we're calling you out. Gotta come on.
I don't like the operator. Should have knocked him out, but he fucking can catch a mean fish. I've actually never cast a rod, but we'll get. I'll film it next time.
I was gonna say, not to put you on the spot, but have you had your first career catch yet?
I have gone deep sea fishing before. Okay. So that was an experience. I highly recommend. So yeah, I'm gonna be the fishing talk guy now.
Deep sea fishing's awesome.
You guys talk sports, and I'm gonna talk fishing. And I'm gonna get that Charlie Moore interview.
Have you been at that smooth water in the big deserts in Sedona, Arizona?
No.
Okay.
Sedona, Arizona is strictly you take some psychedelics and you turn into an eagle. Shout out Mark Scanlon. Shout out Mr. Scanlon.
Well, everyone Sedona, knows. Arizona sounds incredible.
Sedona, Arizona is the best place in the world. I stand by that. I stand by it.
Anyway, you become an eagle is probably pretty high up on your list, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what we were saying to Mark DeLuca. We were saying, if we win UFC bets this weekend, we might come out to Vegas, and have a good time.
I'd love to do that.
I think we leave Mark alone and head out to Sedona.
No, we should go to Vegas.
It's a good idea, though.
Let's go. Yeah, Sedona's beautiful. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but we gotta let it rip. It's been a while, guys. Let's go have some fun with Mark.
Go bet on some cornhole.
Bet on anything.
Yeah,
we'll bring Anton for sure.
Leave Anton at the blackjack table. Let him just do his thing.
He stays at the slot machines.
Slot machines.
Oh, he's a slot guy? I wouldn't have picked that.
He's not a slot guy, but he's such a degenerate that if he gets on a slot machine, he ain't leaving it.
That makes sense, yeah.
And, usually people put in, dollars and shit. No, he's putting in, 20s and, hundreds. And
yeah.
He's probably getting nasty out there.
Mike, you don't have a picture of yourself with a fish?
Not yet. It's coming. It's
going to be, man. Or the Hinge. I'm not sure what you're on.
It's not good for Tinder, but.
Yeah. It might be great.
It'll be good for Instagram.
It would depend. I don't know.
I don't think it's good for Tinder. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I am the fishing guy.
Yeah. I come across a lot of girls on Tinder that say, if you got a fish in your profile picture, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. That's why I said that. They just say that because that's exactly the guy that they want to be with.
You got to portray I'm a city guy, but I also like to go to the farm and, pond, too.
Yeah. Maybe that's my new goal. I'm going to get a girl to like my fishing picture and try and take her for a date. Maybe a nice date on the lake.
We're striving high right
just
now.
Just make
I
sure
like
we
this.
Stay away from the pH and more of the F in terms of fishing. Yeah.
Fair.
My head's going to take a couple minutes. I'll get that joke on the replay.
You replay.
Yeah. pH. Yeah. Keep going.
Okay.
So that's fishing talk.
Yeah. That's fishing talk. So, Steel, you're up next. We got the Steel salute this week. A bunch of different things. They have etiquette.
Yeah, one of the salutes, I might even give out two this week, but one of them's out, the MLB, fucking around, MLB's trying to bring down the Yankees.
I saw that.
And they try to keep under wraps, which is great. It's a bullshit scandal. They're trying to bring a Deflategate type thing towards them, because the Yankees, borderline as hated as the Patriots are. Anyone sees a scandal involving that team, they attack. Don't even ask if it's real or not.
What is the exact scandal?
They think it's a pitch, stealing signs.
Stealing
type of signs.
Thing. Same thing.
There's
with
literally
Astros
no
and Red
proof
Sox.
Of this. There's none. Yeah. Zero.
And I said it.
Astros are attacking.
I hate Mike Steele, not more than the other guy we mentioned earlier on the podcast. But even as a Red Sox fan, I'm like, this is a joke because everyone does this, and now they're just picking people out of the woodwork. So it's kind of just like, all right, we get it. People are stealing signs. People losing their jobs over them.
It's literally Deflategate, just in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like shit. Like this team does that. And but the Patriots did it, so the world fucking swarms. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Although catch 22, the Houston Astros, every time they did it, they hit 500-foot jacks. So
yeah.
I think there's something crazy with that, and they kind of deserve that.
The whole league's
cheating. They showed because it was in 2017 that with the cheating, the Yankees strikeout wise in the MLB ranks, they went from 14th to 19th or something. The Astros literally went from 27 to number one less strikeouts in the entire league. Mm-hmm. They just jumped the entire fucking league throughout the entire league.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Which one do you think cheated?
Yeah. Jose Altuve hit .380 at home and then .160 on the road. It's
exactly.
What's going on here?
Yeah, clearly.
I have a bit of a hot take.
Yep.
You guys are going to probably not like this.
They want to hear it.
No fucking season this year.
Ooh.
You cancel the MLB season, right? And I'm not saying that just because I quit my job because of the corona pandemic and I'm in a $100 fantasy baseball league with my boss. So any transaction from going on forth is going to be very awkward.
Yeah, trades are going to be tough.
Trades, and of course, if I win the league, how am I going to get the money back? It's going to be
very
awkward.
We support local fantasy football players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball.
Oh, baseball, sorry.
I would really love for my league to start.
Also, besides that point, they need to just redo the rules and allow all fucking cheating. And I'm talking steroids, sign stealing, and just because everyone cheats. I mean, the thing is, I was very happy to realize the Yankees. I mean, I didn't really look into the proof, but it seems like it was pretty obvious that the Yankees were cheating. And not only were they cheating, they didn't win from the cheating. So I don't understand.
The other team was actually cheating. The other team that beat them was actually cheating. So that's why
you're just digging yourself a grave, man. You got three guys who are ready to fucking pounce on you.
Yeah, bunch of cowards. I'll take them all on.
And I commend you for that effort. But I really think they can forget 48 game season. Just redo the rule book. Allow steroids, HGH. Let's get some more dingers. Don't stop juicing balls too. It's so pathetic. They have the juice balls for to get some home runs nowadays. You know,
let's get some cheerleaders in there too. Get some skin up there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jimmy just literally stole my take. I was just talking about this. Were you out there when I was talking to Steele about this? Because I just was saying that. He was like, give that take, and you just took the take.
No way.
Yeah. Exactly what you're saying right now.
So we're all on the same page. That's all I'm getting. It's like, bring steroids.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. Baseball is
like the same. Like, you want you want cheating to come back and steroids and everything, too?
What a roided up Aaron Judge hit 80 home runs.
What exactly were you going to salute by them? What were you going to salute by
the MLB commission, like, hiding it down, like, keeping it quiet, because like
the Yankees,
because like they just like wouldn't fucking.
It was a tough fine for salutes this week. We didn't really see a lot of
my other salute to change the subject is the Florida governor is allowing college athletes in Florida to make money off of their endorsements and like jersey sales and stuff, which I think I've always supported that like they should be paid in that manner, like maybe not like a contract or something. Whoa. They get the scholarship, but like. Like, Reggie Bush should have got a shit ton of money for all the number 5 jerseys.
They were almost my bonehead of the week. They finally reinstated the, like, the great memories of O.J. Mayo and, like, Reggie Bush. Yeah. I'm like, God, 10 years later, now you do it? Like, what a bunch of pieces of shit.
Like, Vince Young not getting money from, like, his jerseys is trash.
Yeah.
Like, that shit's incredible.
It also helps out the University of Miami that you're a big fan of.
Of course.
They bring in the guys. You know, I'm a Florida State guy. They haven't been good since famous Jameis, and they're not looking any better this year.
So only Florida schools are doing this.
Just Florida. But, like, because people, like, players recruiting-wise, they can pick where they want to go, kind of. They're going to Florida.
That's a good move by Florida.
Yeah, so, like, other states, like, by the time college football, by the end of next college football season, I feel like most states, at least down south, will probably have this.
They're going to have to.
Because that's where it matters.
They're going to have to unless they want to lose to every Florida school.
Like, Georgia will probably have this done by, like, next week. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to.
Like, SEC football, like, is just a step below the NFL in terms of marketing, everything like that.
Like, you're
all
there,
of basically. The Southeast schools should be going by this, whatever's 100%. Going on. They're getting the 5-star, the 4-star recruits. It's a no-brainer to me. I think they should be.
It's wild it took this long for, like, that to happen. It's crazy.
And hopefully it will lead to the next NCAA football game.
Oh.
And everything in the world will be fine.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get our balls back.
Get our balls back.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'll become a Twitch person instantly. Oh, yeah.
That game will be the fastest purchase I ever make of, like, anything in my life. Like NCAA football, like, 22, I will pre-order that, like, a year in advance. Like, that's... I'm all in.
What's Gutter Ball's occupation nowadays?
Well, I'm still in the Road Dogs Football League. Shout out the Road Dogs. I'm currently a middle linebacker at the University of Miami.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
All about the U, baby.
Yeah, so Tank Tater, which Magic you're familiar with your, you're my agent in the virtual football world. He recruited me, Tank Tater, to Miami, and he wants me to be the next version of the Boz.
Love that.
Because Gutter Balls is very respected in that community, so... follow me on Twitter if you want some NCAA football action. Road Dogs League.
Yeah.
It's a great community. Askins for Trouble is the at name.
Would you like to play for... Who's it? Coach Duggs, the Big Cats guy?
Yeah. Big Cats character, Coach Duggs, he really made a ripple effect of this. There was already some people making some fake online video game presence on Twitter and stuff, but he really set the edge. I actually had a pretty good tweet that Caleb Presley retweeted. Shout out to Caleb. Scene from Friday Night Lights. He tapes the football to his son's hands and starts smacking because he couldn't hold on to the football. It got like 20,000 views or something like that. So
no big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, casual. Another day.
Big time moves from
another
James
day
here.
At the office for James.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So 3-time Steel and Naz guest, and eventually, pardon my take host probably when Big Cat dies.
Solid moves only. Yeah.
I wonder what he's gonna die from. Was he catching ice cream or whatever he's been doing? That's been pretty funny.
I hope he doesn't die like that.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I hope he dies a peaceful death. He deserves it.
Yeah, I think he might be in the top five people I really will cry if he were taken from us too early.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a segment one day. I've always wanted to talk about that, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
top five people that I'll cry about when they die, yeah. We'll give that to the people one day. Yeah.
Kobe got me, R.I.P.
Yeah, that sucked,
R.I.P.
RIP, bro. All right, so now we'll get into our UFC Fight Night picks. Had to do this on the hop. They're kind of putting it together, different shitty fight nights every week. This one's not bad. I'll start. We like doing the bottom three fight, the top three fights, the last three of the night. So we have a chick fight. We got Raquel Pennington, who's a veteran here, against Marion Renault, who's up and coming fighter here. In my pick here, I think Raquel Pennington, she's just been an absolute punching bag for this whole weight class here. Amanda Nunes, quick work, lost to Holly Holm twice. I think this is a no-brainer. I think Marion's taking over. I think Raquel's going down. And when you have a 10-8 record in the UFC, it's like I'm probably getting my tits lit every time I'm out there.
It's not a good record.
It's not a good record. But I think she stands a chance because that record's so bad, because it's Holly Holm, it's Duran to me, it's Amanda fucking Nunes. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's people that run through, like, the weight class. It's not like she's... It's not like those 8 losses are to, like, some scrub that you've never heard of. Like, they're people, like, I mean, Amanda Nunes would knock out everyone in this room easily.
Like, times.
Facts.
Yeah, like, she got... She went multiple
rounds. We could
have 15
more people
like,
in here.
If you go multiple rounds with Amanda Nunes,
not Mark
DeLuca,
of course. She couldn't be Mark DeLuca, but...
That'd be a hell of a fight. I'd pay a lot of money to see that.
I think she stands a chance. I don't know too much about Renault, the one she's fighting, though, so... Possibly. I'm going to take Raquel Pennington.
Yeah, I'm going dogs. I'm going Renault all day. Does anyone else have a pick here, or they... We ride it towards the next one. It's not a big deal. Just
I don't have a pick, but I will say I am new to the UFC game. I've rekindled a huge interest thanks to our friends of the podcast, Anton, who has introduced me to the lovely lifestyle of being a degenerate gambler. And I got to say, once I do my research, I'll have some fire picks. Currently down a few units, which I'm sure if you guys in the gambling world know what units are.
Constant battle.
Yeah.
Constant battle.
So, but after I had a very rough showing at UFC 250. I had some success earlier from a previous card, and I carried that momentum forward, and I, long story short, almost had to eat a dead rat because of how bad my pick. I almost went 0 for 11 in UFC
picks. That's
going to
happen.
Yeah.
I remember because you went like 6 or 7-2 the week before, and you're like, I got this. I'm like, dude, wait till you have that tough week. It's just going to eat at you all night, dude.
Yeah, and the tough week came fast, and I even made like a fire lock pick video of me saying Chase Hooper by submission, and I was flexing, and I really thought I was going to be the next Howie whatever from Uncut Gems, but
ooh.
Hey, I understand there's wins and losses, ups and downs. We'll come back stronger for Fight Island.
We will do our research.
And no rat was eaten.
I'm going to pick I'm going to go with Raquel Pennington here because I like Steel's takes. I'll go. I'm gonna go Raquel, and I like that name for whatever reason.
Chad Pennington.
I'm picking her because of that name.
I just think she's a punching bag. She's 10-8. I mean, the Irish Pub softball team had a better record than that. At least, definitely not the other league, but one league.
Shout out the Irish Pub opening back up.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So then another good the co-main event was Shane Burgos versus Josh Emmett. And we got a 13-1 here, -135. I looked, his only loss was to Methuen's Calvin Kattar, who's on an absolute tear right now. Just absolutely put Jeremy Stevens in a body bag. That fight wasn't even close. So this guy's 13-1 with a loss to him. I'm considering that he's 13-0 with a loss to an absolute beast. Been using that word absolute too much. But I'm going to go with Shane Burrows here.
Yeah, I agree on this one. I think if that's your only loss, that's fine. You can shake that off, just bounce back, and get him down. I mean, Josh Emmett's definitely not a pushover, but I think he can. I think he can pull it out.
Yeah, definitely. Just these cards have just been absolute stinkers. I'm just looking forward to when they have absolute like stack of heaters. Like even the one couple weeks ago where it was Amanda Nunes and whatever. That one was just okay. You had a couple guys on there that are worth mentioning. But other than that, other than the main event of this one, I'm really not too. I'll watch it just to gamble, but
yeah, the Sean O'Malley walk.
I feel like you have to watch more fights to get excited about future fights, that's what I've been learning about.
It's a good MO.
Starting to watch more fights. Neil Magny was my lone correct gambling pick for UFC 250, and now he's my number
guy
one favorite
life.
Fighter.
Guy for life.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then you'll get another guy. I keep mentioning his name, but Cody Garbrandt, who just fucks you. And then you're going to get a Cody Garbrandt one day. And every time he starts fighting, you're just going to bet against him every single time.
That's your boy.
He's becoming because he's just coming in my mouth too many times.
Listen to yourself.
I set myself up.
I'm picking Josh Emmett here because I went on the favorite. I went on the favorite run last time.
Going dogs tonight, baby.
I'm going to reverse. I'm going dogs. I'm done betting favorites because favorites fucked me, and then the dogs will probably fuck me, and then I'll be like, I probably shouldn't gamble anymore. And that'll be good for me.
way to cut yourself right out.
I'll bet Emmett here. I'll bet Emmett.
Well, speaking of bets, when your best friend's Anton, I mean, all bets are fucking off there. You're probably going to gamble.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, you can't spend two minutes around him without him talking about gambling, and then sometimes he wins, and you're like, fuck.
Well, what do you guys think about the smaller cage? Do you think that's affecting fights at all? Dana White was kind of saying that it hasn't been, but I feel there's definitely been a lot more action. I think
if it affects anyone, it would affect like defensive fighters more because they have to be in there, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, so it probably affects them.
It's just
a lot.
Math and dynamics. Like, you're gonna be closer to the guy. Yeah. There's gonna be more action.
Like, you have to go after it. You can't fucking just like hide.
It's not gonna be a Francis Ngannou versus was it the Black Beast? Who's the Black Beast? What's his first name? I'm trying to remember. Francis Ngannou. It was like the worst fight. I think they hit once. And the Black Beast won just because, like, he had one hit and Francis Ngannou didn't have any.
Oh, yeah. I forget who it was.
My balls was hot, that guy.
Yeah, Derek Lewis.
I don't know why his name wasn't coming to me. But that was, like, the biggest win of his career, and he literally didn't do anything. It was just that Francis Ngannou didn't do shit, and that guy usually just fucking unravels on people in the first round.
I think that loss really set Ngannou. Like, after that loss, Ngannou has just, like, cleared the, like,
heavyweight
division.
Yeah, he's on the road back.
Like, that guy has just annihilated everybody.
I think DC wants to retire before they, like, be like, oh, I want to fight him. He's going to be like, no way.
Yeah, try to beat Stipe, then, like, walk off. Yeah. Like, see you later.
I know. So our main event here, we got Alexander Volkov, who is a veteran, 31-7. He's the dog against Blades here, Curtis Blades, who... Every time he's been out, he's really kind of showcased his talents, and I think this is going to be a no-brainer. They've been stacking up these cards, like, not last night with Jessica Eye there losing, but this, like, the Nunes fight, there's just been so many, like, heavy favorites, and I think this is going to write the same song. I think Curtis Blades has shown he's an up-and-coming guy. He's gonna be a champion soon. Well, Alexander Volkov, I mean, I remember seeing him speaking of the Black Beast, Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis just... I think he was losing the entire time, and then third round he caught him.
Yeah.
That was one of the cleanest knockouts I've ever seen. I mean,
slapped.
Yeah.
Absolutely slapped.
So, shout out to Jorge Masvidal. I mean, Ben Askren just body
killed
bags
him.
Now. But yeah, I'm taking Blades. No questions asked.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Blades is 13-2. Both of those losses are to Francis Ngannou. So, like, just not going to slander that man for that. And, like, I think he's going to come out and probably knock him out.
Yeah.
Maybe first or second round pretty quickly, I think.
Write that down.
Either way, I love these heavyweight fights because they're over quick. It's just someone's getting pieced up.
Oh, yeah. No, like, Ngannou Rozenstruik was ending on the first punch, whichever one of them hit it. And it was Ngannou, and, like, just slapped him.
I just can't imagine getting hit by a freight train.
I would
I'm going right to the hospital.
Every person in the UFC would kick my ass. I would straight up not fight Francis Ngannou.
It's like the operator getting hit in the head in the first round. And he's like, I don't want to get hit
anymore.
Imagine
if I gave him two more rounds of that kind of beatdown, he would have been definitely in a hospital.
He probably could have had a job at Barstool by now.
Yeah. Or a more
rematch,
legitimate boxing
rematch,
career.
Rematch. We want a rematch.
Or Bishop Field.
Now we need to find a new opponent.
Or I'll fight Mike live. I eat ass. I'm still thirsty. And I'm getting trained by pretty big time boxers for anyone listening at home.
Fight Clancy.
I'm just going to piss people KFC. Off enough where they're like, I'm going to fight this kid.
How about Muncy?
I'd love Muncy.
We might
Muncy.
Be fighting him in court.
Speaking of Muncy, and you said whatever Steele just said about He would. You wouldn't want to fight someone in the UFC, obviously. If that, obviously, we talked about the jam thing last week, the live streaming, and Dana White literally says we're pussies. He said that on Part of My Take, that people who illegally stream are pussies.
I remember hearing that, yeah.
And they recommended make those pussies go fight fighters instead of going to court and paying like a ton of money. I'll take that.
I'd probably fight.
I'm not paying $10,000 or however, whatever the court settlement would be. I'd rather take a death. I'd rather die.
Yeah. I think
like, I'm not paying $500,000. My parents will kill me. I'd rather die. At least it'll be good content for Dana and everybody.
Yeah, I'd fight probably any chick besides Nunes. Give me Spencer, and I'll just try to sandbag her. Use my fat ass to just, you know, get her to the ground and
just go hard in the paint when I lose.
Yeah, because you said who's the favorite for this main event?
Curtis Blades.
So I think there's a really interesting dynamic with the empty arena UFC fights.
Yep.
And with the main events before Spencer, all the underdogs had won the main event.
Dogs.
I'm very new to the gambling community, but the thing is, I got very. Trigger happy for 250 with the dogs.
That's funny.
I went dogs. I'm like, oh, more value. Hell yeah. Give me some of that. And it didn't work out. But
that's funny because I was going to use that same term. Every time, like, the trend, you start watching the prelims, all the dogs win, you just want to, like, get on there. Yeah, like you said, trigger happy. Get every single dog for the rest of the time, and then you end up losing all your fucking money.
I bet there have been streaks like that in the past, too, that, like, Nunes has, like, stopped.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, it hits, like, the Nunes fight, and it's just like, well, the favorite's, like, gonna fuck it. Like, she's gonna win.
Do you guys know if she was favored for Cyborg? What was that?
That might have been an even one.
It was really close.
Yeah. That might have been,
and it was a first-round game. I remember.
And she dominated her, right?
I was a...
There was a knockout in the first round.
My pick was Nunes' first-round knockout. I was on the ball on that one.
Like, my buddy... I won't even mention his name, because it's kind of embarrassing, but he's like, I've been looking forward to this fight all night. Bruce Buffer's introducing, like, Nunes and Cyborg. He's like, I'm going to go for a cigarette real quick. Comes back from the cigarette. The fight's already fucking
over. If I had a nickel.
Is Volkov and Blades both knockout kind of guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they're not, grapplers or submission?
Oh, no. Anyone in the heavyweight division, for the most part, like... Rock 'em, sock 'em, robots. Yeah.
I'm going Blades because I like that name. Yeah. And once again, I'm picking because of names. Picking because he's a favorite. Curtis Blades. He sounds cool. Yeah. I can't wait to hear him win.
But when we get closer to Saturday, you'll know the bets more. And you guys gonna do a jam live stream this weekend, or what are you guys feeling?
I'm fizzing for one.
Maybe for these three fights. Like, well, we might do it for these three. Not a whole card, but at least for Blades, we'll do it for fucking Blades.
So yeah, so. Folks on Twitter, follow Jam. What's it, James Anton Mike?
Yeah.
Or Magic?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Follow them. Some great content there every time UFC. Hashtag fuck Muncie.
Middle fingers up in the
always,
chat.
Always.
Yeah. So how's everyone been this week though? Besides, you know, shooting the shit, talking about sports all night.
I want to give a quick shout out to the. I drove by the Irish pub. You know, it's our local. It's our local. We're all itching to get back there. Me and Anton were out and about earlier this week. I was like, let's just go check if they got the picnic tables out there in the parking lot. I get back there. The regulars are in the parking lot. There's no picnic tables, but they're drinking.
Is BYOB?
BYOB, the old-time regulars, my people, drinking out of Dunkin' Donuts glasses. One guy had a wine glass. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Like, they have been doing this since the quarantine started. And I have never been so proud to call my local dive bar a place where, like, they still reconvene. And I wanted to be there. I wanted to spend my evening in that parking lot.
The Irish. It's crazy you didn't just, like, grab racks.
I'm honestly mad.
I could see a couple guys who, like, because you walk in there, there's people going in alone. I could see someone just going in that parking lot in the back there, the Vane Street, whatever it is, just drinking in there, driving. Oh,
That's what they were doing.
That's some Hall of Fame shit.
And
speaking of parking lots, how I've been trying to stay sane during this kind of close to quarantine ending type vibes but still want to stay socially distanced is... My apartment complex pool has been shut down, and it doesn't look like they're going to be opening anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So what I do, because I need a tan, because I'm fat, and I need to have... Because tan fat looks way better than pale fat. So I've been going out. I've been going to the Planet Fitness parking lot across the street, and it's been laying out. And it's been kind of my own dojo. my own freedom space, and I've been catching a tan out in the middle of a Planet Fitness parking lot. I hope they don't open soon. Like, I do want to go to the gym, but honestly, it's kind of like my own space.
And well, that it's like your own beach.
Those people get their gyms, you lose your tanning salon. Yeah. You can't have that. Yeah, can't have that.
What street is that? We got to get the chicks over there.
Tara Drive. Weymouth, Massachusetts. Thing is, too, like, if Planet Fitness opens, I kind of want to get a job there because now I'm still employed. I've been cashing in that unemployment money, balling, gambling. Lost $500 gambling the other night, so you know how that's going.
That's why Curtis Blades is here.
That's why you're talking units, James.
Oh, yeah, units. units yeah. Well, so we'll see. Planet Fitness parking lot. Shout out Planet Fitness. Hire me.
We'll get you a job there.
He's a noted trainer.
He is a noted trainer.
I've been watching the building. I've been keeping tabs.
If you just got a job there and just shot content like every day of just like old people working, I'll be like, ugh, like,
yeah,
that'd be some shit.
There's potential there.
That's fucking good.
That's where I shot my firelock pig video for UFC 250 promoting Jam. Hell yeah. Right in the back of my. Some lady friend from Tinder who I've been talking to said it looks like a World War II bunker. So. It's good vibes.
That sets the tone well, yeah.
How about you fellas?
Just letting it rip. Bars open this week. Working all week on Saturday afternoon off. Big shout out to the Follow House here. Any Facebook commenters who want to come at local restaurants for like having picnic tables and parking lots, you know, we're not for that. I did talk to a couple waitresses, waiters. Yesterday, a lot of great people, and they're just throwing it right back in their face, and I couldn't be more happy. We got a load there, you know, a couple buckets, went to the Fours this afternoon, got some nice lunch. Big shout out there in Quincy Center. They made the whole jazz, that cottage ave there of just outdoor dining. There's a new parking lot and everything. Just looking like it's really jazzing up. Nice. I just wish the Clash of the Ash was still there because I miss that shit.
A great place. That street was like always meant for that, if we're being honest. Like, yeah, it should have been closed down to just be that like years ago.
It's a good call, actually.
It's a like a call. Drive-by street.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, if you
want to
murder someone, you drive down there.
There's nothing you can do. You can't park there ever.
Yeah, like, it's just like it should have been a block party, like, for like all of time.
Great call, Steel. Let's get you in front of the mayor this week, huh?
I'm pretty sure it's there. They call it streets literally like a
block
party.
They take that back. We're fighting. We're going to fight and make sure that's
Tom Coates.
That's going to be Steel Street. That's going to be Steel's Way.
Wow. Love the way move. Love it.
I think every member of this podcast and people in this room could potentially be Mayor Quincy. I can legitimately see one of the five, especially you, Shlomo, but billionaire Shlomo.
Big shout out to the producer here.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And if not one of us, Dave McCarthy, I am going to be his future councilman, campaign manager. So absolutely. I'll shout him out. Fuck it. I'll get ahead of the eight ball here.
Yeah, wow. You're making moves on us already.
I've already been plotting how to be getting
He's
asked
me about the pod. Big shout out to Dave McCarthy.
Yeah, we'll get him on here one day when he's running.
Just running the neck and doing everything else. You know?
Hell yeah.
All right, so if anyone else have any other things, so folks, really want to appreciate you guys for tuning in. Mark DeLuca coming on the show, that was a great guest. You know, the primetime boxer there, been on ESPN. Looks like he's got a lot of unfinished business to take care of, and he's heading out to Vegas next week, which we wish we were going. Maybe we'll go, but we have more Steel and Naz merch going. I'm hoping to get some bucket hats for softball season, so we'll get that ready. I'm ready to roll. We'll see you in a week or two, and we'll have more content going for you. So that's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Power and Air podcast. Be safe out there, guys. It's still COVID-19 going on, but, you know, have a good time out there. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
See you all soon.
Yep, have a good one.
Peace.